Hey, let's go with Sir Kenneth Rainford from the UK. Kenny, are you there?
I am indeed, sir.
Right on. Kirk Kenneth, we had some technical difficulties there. Let's talk about Josh Taylor last night. Glasgow, Scotland's what he calls home. I thought he was brilliant at times, but I thought he sort of got complacent there.
Yeah, for me, he did too much boxing. These two fighters were made to line each other's chest and bang away, and it didn't seem to happen. You know, the new corner team seemed to want him to box more, use his right jab and straight shots. I feel two fights ago, Taylor would have maybe been with a shot of stopping him. You know,
but so the corner, in my mind, the corner was blowing it, because we're sitting here screaming at the TV. At least I am, and a couple of my buddies were at different TVs or computer screens. We're having to be watching the fight because we can see him not doing what he should be doing. If you're going to dominate a fight, dominate it. Don't go out there and try to showcase showboat. And I think that Josh Taylor sort of got caught up in his own press releases to an extent, in his own hype. And the corner told him, you know, not to go out there and take care of business in the 12th round. That was almost a fatal mistake.
Echoes of the same thing with Wilder and Tyson Fury. The first time around, just box him, you know. Second time around, different change of team, and Tyson Fury went at Wilder and stopped him. And I just don't think it's, you know, Ben Davis, obviously a good trainer, but Taylor for me needs a trainer like McGuigan.
Barry McGuigan, is that what you're talking about? Or his son?
Yeah, Barry, but his son had him as well.
Okay. How good is the son? You know, Barry, and let me tell you a little story about Barry McGuigan. He was training for Stevie Cruz. He was in Palm Springs. We were training at the Canyon Hotel, the Palm Canyon Hotel down there in Palm Springs. Roberto Duran was there. He was going to fight Robbie Sims, I think. Barry was going to take on Stevie Cruz. And Barry and I ran a couple times in the morning. He's a great runner, no doubt about that. I mean, not quite as quick as Ray Leonard, but he's a pretty good runner. So he wouldn't. He didn't want to expose himself to the heat that much. In other words, he trained in a tent that was sort of air conditioned and things like that. He really didn't want to get out there in the sun. And then Barney Eastwood put him in 106 degree sun and with a broken eardrum to boot. So Eastwood called me that morning. These guys suit each other. You know that. Eastwood and Barry McGuigan suit each other. And Eastwood had called me that morning and said to me, Pedro, what do you think about Barry? What happened if a fighter fought with a broken eardrum? I said, well, I think he'd have some balance problems and this and that, blah, 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 blah. And Barry fought with a broken eardrum, and then Barney Eastwood took him to court afterwards, and somehow Barney Eastwood won that lawsuit. So anyway, enough of that. McGuigan is a trainer. Good guy.
Yeah, he's a very good trainer. But he's the kind of trainer that Taylor needs, because it's his style of fighting. Inside, working the body, You know, that was the fight I thought we were going to see. I thought we were going to see a telephone booth, close quarters combat, banging away. Whichever fighter was the fitter, more determined fighter was going to get it. But it turned out to be a boxing lesson.
And when he was inside, he was like dominant. The uppercut, the body shots. I mean, he dropped him twice on the inside.
Yeah, but he also took a tremendous left hook to the body himself in the first round. I don't know if you saw that yourself, but he took it real well, and that for me said he was in good condition.
Okay. The kid came over without an entourage. I mean, there wasn't nobody there. Was his family even in the house?
I'm sure they were. And I don't know what's going on, because there was no TV exposure over here for the fights at all. There was not a channel in Great Britain, Sky, BT. None of them carried the fights, and I find that mind-blowing.
Wait. You trying to tell me that Josh Taylor, the undefeated champion from Scotland, didn't get any UK TV for this fight at all?
Not at all.
Wow.
Not at all.
Is there some politics involved there or what? Sky, I mean.
Yeah. There's politics with MTK, I think. I think that, you know, the promotional outfit he's with, you know, they've got some. They don't carry well with the TV stations over here for some reason. For me, they're doing a tremendous job with him, and I keep the politics out of the boxing. You know, keep it to the fighter. You know.
So I guess the YouTube clips of Josh Taylor beating up on Mr. Ramirez, I guess that went crazy in the UK.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was streamed. You know, people were watching it on their phones and stuff. It was streamed. through various, you know, ways of getting it. But you know, that fight should have been on BT Sport or Sky Sports, no doubt about it. It even should have been pay-per-view, wasn't it? There's none of it.
Exactly. Two undefeated champions going toe-to-toe. Speaking of champions, of course, Tyson Fury, undefeated, now going to have to go back and rumble one more time with Deontay Wilder, the ultimate one-trick pony of the heavyweight division. Is there any chance of anything being different this time?
I've just got off the phone with one of Tyson Fury's agents, a friend of mine, Spencer, and he's so confident that this fight is just going to be an easy fight. Pedro, he's a dangerous guy. This is a dangerous fight. There's no two ways about it. The guy looks like he's lost all that weight that he packed on for the second fight. He's back trim. He's training on keeping distance. Anyone, you know, when you fight a guy like Wilder, at any given time the fight can be ended, you know. So I just hope Tyson's training twice a day. He's in shape, but I just hope mentally he doesn't, you know, read his own clippings too much, that he's got this fella in the bag and it's a done deal of a win and all the rest of it. But again, politics, Pedro, you know, they're talking about Usyk.
Usyk and Joshua.
Joshua's got a Usyk, you know, and it's Anthony Joshua's last fight in the promotional contract with Barry Hearn.
Wow.
So, you know,
would Usyk present much of a challenge at heavyweight? I mean, I wasn't impressed with his last couple of fights.
No. I think that's just purely a money fight for both fighters.
Okay. Speaking of money fights, what are the big money fights right now besides Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua in the UK? I mean, Josh Taylor's going to be a big money fight no matter where he goes, I think, in the UK. Hey, what about, let's talk about him luring Terrence Crawford, tells me, and everybody's screaming about, I can't get a fight. Nobody wants to fight me. Let him drop back down to 140 pounds, go across the pond. He can bring his welterweight trinkets with him, and they can match it up 140 pounds and fight for all the marbles.
Correct. I mean, if he can make 140 comfortable, that is a no-brainer fight, an absolute no-brainer fight. But do you know what? I think the big casinos in Vegas, they would probably pay more for the fight than what could be generated in the UK.
Yeah, well, I guess with the crowds starting to open up now, of course, the COVID thing's starting to get real. COVID is starting to recede to an extent here in the United States. Speaking of COVID, how's COVID in the UK? Are they still on lockdown or what?
We're not on lockdown, but it's like if you socially go for a meal with friends and family, it's six to a table, no more than. You have to wear a mask in enclosed environments. You know, you're allowed to walk around the streets without a mask on and stuff like that. But, you know, supermarkets, you have to wear a mask. Anywhere where there's public, you need to wear a mask unless you're seated.
You know, Kenny, for a lot of people, a mask is an improvement. Back to 2014, Deontay Wilder and his new trainer, Malik Scott, fought. Malik Scott took one of the greatest dives in boxing history in Bayamón, Puerto Rico, according to boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. You remember that dive? I mean, that fight?
Vaguely, yeah.
So now Malik Scott's calling the shots for Deontay Wilder. So, I mean, how do you know? There's some type of an incestuous relationship there between these two guys. I mean, they fought, he took a dive, and now he's coming back to be his yes man in the corner because, you know, Deontay Wilder said that Mark Breland drugged him. He put Valiums in his water.
Well, he's lost the plot, hasn't he, if he's saying things like that. Why would Mark Breland want to lose his money, his golden ticket? Why?
Well, and another thing Breland was saying for the record, that he doesn't like to do bag work. He doesn't like to jump rope. I mean, these are all things that made Hector Martinez say for so many years that all Deontay Wilder was a street fighter with a right hand.
Yeah, and a prolific smoker.
He smokes cigarettes?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Really? I thought, not funny cigarettes like me? He smokes real cigarettes?
He smokes the funny ones.
Hey, we all smoke the funny ones over here. Don't you get it? It beats drinking. I mean, look at it. I mean, I thought about it. I mean, you know, I used to hang out with the Irish guys in Vegas for the McGuigan fights and this and that. And, you know, I'm looking at myself and about 30, 35 years old at the time. And the other guys are 30, 35 years old. But they were drinking all the time and they weren't able to retain their game as long. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh yeah, exactly, exactly.
And Kenny, one time I popped off one time when I was drunk, and I realized that I couldn't defend myself if I had to, and I said to myself, "Well, I'd never ever put myself in that position ever in my life," and I haven't.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And, that's good, yeah. Nothing worse than getting your ass kicked drunk. You know how I found that out? When I was a policeman. We go to these bar fights, and you go there, and you see some guy that was like 6'5", and you see him all laid out. You say, "Who beat him up?" And they go, "That little guy over there." You say, "Well, how'd that work out?" "Well, the big guy was wearing dress shoes, you know, those slippery shoes."
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta come ready to go. So I never go out with slippery shoes either. All right, real quick. Joshua and Usyk, that's going to happen, looks like. So Joshua rolls through Usyk. Does Fury roll through Mr. Deontay Wilder inside of 5 or 6 rounds? Is it a quick thing or what?
I hope so. I hope so. I really do. Because like I say, you know, Wilder's a dangerous cookie. But I think, you know, the only way Tyson Fury can beat him is by getting on him, jumping on him early, and don't give him any room, back him up. This guy can only fight and punch going forward. Going backwards is a different story, and that's what Tyson Fury now knows. He has to jump on his bike and get him.
The great Sir Kenneth Rainford on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That's what we call him, the UK ace. Buddy, have a great week.
You too.
Kenny Rainford, the Skype worked. Right on, Cuddy. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.